going to continue looking at the seventh commandment. We've been looking at some things that are prohibited in the commandment that are not right on the surface. Right on the surface, of course, is the physical act of adultery, and we've seen that there are different forms of adultery, and there's many things that are prohibited in this command. We've been the last couple weeks looking at the subject of divorce and remarriage, and we want to conclude that today. Been looking at some rationalizations that people make that cannot be supported by Scripture. And we come to another rationalization, and this is one that those who would be the same side of the issue, I guess, that I am on, that many of these, this is a rationalization that many of these people make, though I don't believe, if you look at their lives, if you look at what they practice, they really don't believe the rationalization themselves, and they haven't really thought it through. But it's one that creates a lot of problems and a lot of inconsistencies. The rationalization is that when one is divorced and remarried while their previous spouse is still living, that God does not recognize that second marriage. In other words, the second marriage is invalid. I believe that's a false rationalization. It's one that many make. It is a rationalization, it's an assumption that has absolutely no scriptural basis, none whatsoever. There isn't a single verse that an individual can point to and say that God does not recognize that second marriage. So the Bible does not in any way say that the second marriage is invalid. I said people say they believe that, but they really don't practice it. Or if they do practice it, that doesn't say much for their morals. Their son and daughter, son or daughter perhaps, is remarried. And if they really believe that, that the second marriage is not valid, then certainly you can't have them stay at your house in the same room. If you really believe that. But people don't practice that because they really don't believe that. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, and verse 12, the Lord gave the qualifications for pastor and deacon. And those are the only two offices in the church that this qualification is given. Now, many have extended it past that, and church has a right to do that. But scripturally, there's only two. And that's pastor and deacon. It says that he must be the husband of one wife. And I realize that there's a whole group of individuals, pastors, who are divorced and remarried, and they kind of have their own fellowship. But you cannot, and someone just sent me a CD recently, out of the blue, why it's scriptural for a pastor to have more than one wife. I haven't listened to it. I may not. But he is to be the husband of one wife. The very implication is that it's possible to have more than one. I mean, if it's not possible to have more than one, then that would be foolish to make that qualification. So it is possible to have more than one. Now, if God does not recognize the second marriage, then I've got to ask, how can you have more than one? You can't. God, if you have more than one, God must recognize it. The Bible puts a difference between concubines and wives, plural. A concubine is a woman who lives with a man. It's a mistress. It's a mistress. Notice in Genesis 25, verse 6. Genesis 25, verse 6. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, that's mistresses, Abraham gave gifts, that is to these sons, and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived eastward into the east country. So you have concubines of Abraham. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5, and verse 13. And David took him more concubines and wives. So there's a difference. There's a difference. Concubines and wives out of Jerusalem. God recognized the difference between a concubine and a wife. After he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born to David. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3. Speaking of Solomon, he had 700 wives, princes, 300 concubines. 300 concubines. He had a plurality of wives. He had a plurality of mistresses. And God puts a difference between wives and mistresses. Second, well, we won't go there, but you go to the woman of the well. Christ recognized the difference between husband and one that was not her husband. Notice in John chapter 4, John chapter 4, Jesus, in verse 16, says, go call thy husband. And the reason he said that was to convict her of a sin. And come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. Thou hast had five. Now, whether she was divorced, or whether they died, we don't know. In the context, I believe we can assume that she was divorced, but we really don't know. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In other words, she was living with somebody that wasn't her husband. Polygamy is having more than one spouse. That's polygamy. It's a very simple definition. We have today, modern day polygamy. If you have more than one spouse, that's polygamy. If that second person is not your spouse, then of course that's a different issue. Polygamy is forbidden all through the Word of God. It's also practiced all through the Word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 17, neither shall he multiply wives to himself. God gave that command. Now, if God does not recognize the second wife, then why not just say, thou shalt have no concubines? That's not what he said. He said, neither shalt he multiply wives to himself. And the reason is that they would turn his heart away. And of course, that's proven later on. But all through the Word of God, polygamy is practiced, or we should say all through the Old Testament. Polygamy is mentioned time and time and time and time again. And the very fact that polygamy is mentioned shows that God recognizes a second marriage. If God does not, if you take that stand, God does not recognize a second marriage, you have two choices. You can, as far as the church is concerned, if you really believe that, then they can't be church members. Why would God say that the pastor must be the husband of one wife if there were not anyone in the church that did not have more than one spouse? Obviously, that was going on, or the qualification wouldn't even be necessary. So if you believe that the second marriage is not valid in God's eyes, then they can't be members. And if you say, well, they can be members, well, then you cannot discipline anybody for fornication or adultery. Because if the second marriage is not valid, that's what it is. But again, to say that second marriage is not valid, scripture and verse, chapter and verse, where do you find that? You don't. God recognizes a plurality of wives. Does that make it right? No. But God recognizes the second marriage. And again, this is borne out by polygamy all through the Word of God. It's borne out the difference. Why does God make a difference between wives and concubines? Notice in the book of Judges, chapter 8, we see Abraham in Genesis 16, Esau, Genesis 26, Genesis 28, Jacob, Genesis 29. We have Gideon here in the book of Judges, chapter 8, in verse 30. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. For he had many wives. 1 Samuel chapter 25. verse 39, "And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, 'Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil, for the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head.' And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife." This would be a plurality of wives. It does not say to take her to him to be concubine. If God does not recognize the second marriage, then that's what it would have to be. "And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, 'David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife.' And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, 'Behold, let thine handmaids be servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord.' And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass and five damsels of hers and went after her. And she went after the messenger of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives." Not concubines, but wives. Again, if God does not recognize a second marriage, then that's a concubine. That's a woman living with a man, or vice versa, outside of marriage. But God recognized the plurality of wives. Now, those who believe this, those who believe that the second marriage in God's eyes is not valid, here's the advice that they give to someone who, let's say, is divorced and they remarry a second person. Here's what they will say. You need to divorce that second person and go back to the first. That has no scriptural basis. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 24. Now, if it was true that God does not recognize a second marriage, that would be your only option. But in Deuteronomy 24, we've looked at this before. This is where we get the clarifying cause of fornication in Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 and 2. We see a man has put away his wife for the cause of fornication. And we're not going to rehash that, but hopefully you can remember what we said about that. In verse 3, "And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement," so now she's been divorced twice, "and giveth it in her hand and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die," so you have a different situation, a different scenario here. One scenario, he divorces her, another scenario, he dies, "which took her to be his wife. Her former husband," that's the one in verses 1 and 2, "her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled." The logic is this. Remember, before the marriage was consummated in the marriage bed, a contract was signed. He finds out that she's not a virgin. She's been defiled. So he puts her away because she's been defiled. Well, if he put her away because she's been defiled, certainly he can't marry her a second time after she's been married to someone else. Why? Because she's defiled. She's defiled. But again, it says, "Her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that, she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord." So, the Lord recognizes a second marriage. The Lord recognizes a plurality of spouses. And it's the same thing in the Old Testament as it is today. Or it's the same today as it is in the Old Testament. Though polygamy was widely practiced in the Old Testament, some of the greatest saints of God were polygamists. Abraham, David. You can't get around it. They were polygamists. But polygamy, just like any sin, doesn't matter what the sin is going to bring confusion. And you look through the Old Testament, and you look at the plurality of wives, and you look at the confusion and the problems and the difficulties that were caused. It's the same today. You have a plurality, and you're going to have problems that you would not have. I mean, you're going to have family issues. On and on and on it goes. It brings other problems. It brings confusion, and that's where we are today. Because life is more complicated when, and again, this is true of anything, when God's way is forsaken. And God's ideal is one man, one woman. That is God's ideal. But God does recognize a plurality of spouses. It just you can make the statement, well, I don't believe that they're really married in God's eyes. Well, you can go ahead and believe that, but you have nothing to base it on. You have no scripture to base that on. And if you really believe that, then you need to practice it. And you need to practice it individually. You need to practice it as a church body if a person truly believes that. Then it needs to be practiced. But I don't believe that there is scriptural evidence that second marriage is invalid. I am not going to tell somebody, and you may disagree, that's your prerogative. I am not going to tell somebody who's remarried to divorce their second spouse. I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to say that you have to do that and you have to go back and marry your first spouse. Well, if you divorce your second, now you've got another set of problems. You've just complicated matters even more. But just like polygamy was a very complicated issue, and by complicated, I simply mean that it brought complications into life. So it is today. It works much better. There is no one who can deny that it would work much better if there was no such thing as divorce. It would be much better. But that's not reality. That's not the way it is. If a person is married a second time, I believe that God recognizes that marriage, and I believe that that person should try to be the best husband or wife that they can be to that individual. I believe that. So next week we'll continue on. We're done with the subject of divorce.